define love?
That's the question here tonight. Define love. You can put it into all kinds of things. You can talk about the love between man and woman. You can talk about the love for you have for certain things. But tonight, we define love. This is not a pretty day. It never has been, and it never will be until the day that we step forth into heaven and our time here is done. And then we'll be able to put the final definition to love. On May 2nd, 1962, a dramatic advertisement appeared in the San Francisco Examiner. It said, "I don't want my husband to die in the gas chamber for a crime he did not commit. I will therefore offer my services for 10 years as a cook, a maid, a housekeeper. I will cut grass, I will dust, I will clean, I will do any and all things to any leading attorney who will defend him and bring about his vindication." That is love. Unselfish love. In 1962, one of the greatest attorneys that San Francisco had was a man by the name of Vincent Hallinan. He had defended some of the greatest cases in the area at that time and had won many of them, if not all. You could not begin to afford Vincent unless you were of the rich and elite. But he read this ad and he called the newspaper, and the newspaper led him to Gladys Kidd. And she's the one that had placed it. Her husband, Robert Lee Kidd, was about to be tried for the slaying, for the murder of an elderly antique dealer. Kidd's fingerprints had been found on a blood-stained, ornate sword in the victim's shop. They had been found on the sword. But yet the woman, love, knew. Nobody believed. Nobody believed. But something in her brought him forward. And so they go to trial. And during trial, Hallinan proved that the antique dealer had not been killed by that sword. He also proved that Kidd's fingerprints and blood were on the sword because Kidd and another friend had visited that antique store and had picked up two swords and were dueling with them when he was cut, and they quickly put it down and left the shop. The jury, after 11 hours, found Kidd not guilty. As he walked from the courtroom, he grabbed her hand and looked her right in the eye and said, "Service paid," and refused her service and walked out. Define love. Define love. I'm not going to ask you to try to keep up with me tonight, because once I get going tonight, I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to roll through the Gospels. We're going to go everywhere in them. So I would advise you just listen tonight. But I want you to define love. And we start with where love begins in its greatest form. And that is a mother's love. I am a father. I have seen it. Nothing can compare to the love that the mother gives during that birth. Nothing. And I'm not talking about just at that point. I'm talking about the love of a mother, whether you are the mother or you inherited that child. You are everything. And your love does not stop. Luke chapter 2. We learn about Mary. We hear those words that bring us to the beginning. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. And when he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to him to be married and expecting a child, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. And she wrapped him in swaddling cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Our King was born in a barn, in a manger. He was not wrapped in kingly vestige. He was not given great things. He was torn into existence. He came forward into existence, and a mother's love at that moment put cloths around him and wrapped him and kept him tight, that we would always know what would protect him. She would have to grow with him. There is any number of versions out there of what Jesus Christ's life was like as a kid, but I can assure you what it was. It was still a child. It was still love that was being defined as Mary, the mother of Jesus, came to him and held him as he fell. Mothers, we hear the tearing yet again of cloth in her heart. The symbolization of a torn cloth to do what? To wrap around a cut. To maybe put around the head as a cold cloth during sickness. The sound of material being torn in love. In an amazing love. Too many people today have forgotten what this day stands for. To them, it's another day. It is Good Friday. I sure hope I get the day off. I think everybody should have a moment where there's something today that reminds you of the pain that we have yet to experience. And it wasn't until I was getting ready to come here that I was reminded of the pain that Christ experienced, if only for a brief second. You see this? This is a crown of thorns. It was given to me by Linda as a decoration. The only way you can put this big crown of thorns on is to put the tack through your tie and put that piece on the back. You will hurt your fingers doing that, because the thorns on this decoration remind you of what we have yet to feel. We need to not let get away from us what went on today. Jesus Christ came and he tore himself away from his mother, from his family, and he began his ministry, and he grew, and he taught, and he shared. And he knew all these things. He knew what was coming down the line. And so as we have approached it, we know that last night he shared the Last Supper. He brought his disciples close unto him and he told them, "Do this in remembrance of me." And he washed their feet. Luke's account. In Luke chapter 22, we hear Jesus talking to Simon Peter. He says, "Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers." When you have turned back, knowing that he was going to fail, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, "Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death." And Jesus answered, "I tell you, Peter, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times." Three times. We denied everything so much to such a point that God, looking down with a love that we cannot fathom, turned to His only begotten Son and tore Him away from heaven. As Jesus said those words to him, "Simon, Simon, the devil has asked to sift you as wheat." He knew that he would be torn away from the hold of Jesus. What pain that must be. In the middle of everything, as we stood watching, Christ on this day prepared. That's love. That's the definition of love. That even as he was about to face his own death, he felt the tear of one being taken away. Simon denied it. Simon said, "It's not possible." Simon said, "I could never leave you." And yet we know that he did. And so what happened? We read about it in Luke's account. One of the most trying moments in the life of Christ that we better never ever forget. That moment of amazing love. Jesus went out as usual, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching that place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." And he withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them and knelt down and prayed. And he said, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. But not my will, but yours be done." Torn away from his Father now. Do you understand what happened? Say amen. Amen. Each tear of the fabric of Christ defines love. Each tear of that moment in time that we have witnessed defines who Jesus Christ would be for us. An angel came from heaven, appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to his disciples and found them sleeping, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked. "Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation." Get up and pray that you will not fall into temptation. Christ watching all of this unfold in his own heart, for he knew that there was no way to be away from this. If we take Good Friday and we take it away, and I don't even want to call it Good Friday, if we take this day away and we put it off to the side and we don't experience the pain and outright depravity of the moments that follow this day, we let go of that salvation for a moment. We have to have today. We have to define the love of Jesus Christ by remembering that today, brothers and sisters, this day, He died for us. I ask you to define love. Paul said that nary a man would die for another man in such a way. And yet we look toward it. John continues on in his gospel. "And when they had finished praying, Jesus left with his disciples, crossed the Kidron Valley. And on the other side was an olive grove. And he and his disciples went into it." Now Judas, who betrayed him. Knew the place because Jesus had often met there with his disciples. And so Judas came to the grove, guiding a detachment of soldiers and some officials from the chief priests and Pharisees. They were carrying torches and lanterns and weapons. And Jesus, knowing all that was going to happen, went out and asked them, "Who is it you want?" "Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "I am he," he said. And Judas the traitor was standing there with them. And when Jesus said, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. And again they asked him, "Who is it you want?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." "I told you that I am he," Jesus answered. "If you are looking for me, then let these men go." This happened so that the words he had spoken would be fulfilled. "I have not lost one of those you gave me." Then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. And Jesus commanded him, "Put your sword away. Shall I not drink the cup the Father has given me?" Brothers and sisters, I am excited to know that in just several hours, a day, 2 days, we get to celebrate the risen, resurrected, fully whole Christ. But in this moment, we have to remember. We have to understand what the true definition of love is. We have to be prepared to accept what it took for us to get here. In the Gospel of Matthew, we learn that after Jesus has been taken away, we hear it yet again. Now Peter was sitting out in the courtyard, and after Christ had been led away, and a servant girl came to him. "You are also with Jesus of Galilee," she said. But he denied it before them all. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Then he went out the gateway, where another girl saw him and said to the people there, "This fellow was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he denied it again with an oath. "I do not know that man." And after a little while, those standing there went up to Peter and said, "Surely you are one of them, for your accent gives you away." Then he began to call curses down on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered the words Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went outside and wept. Torn away. From the Christ, from the love, torn away. And yet, by the very definition of love, Christ continued his journey. He continued to go his way. He continued to lift up that which he must do. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. After Jesus had stood before all of the Sanhedrin, all of the teachers of the law, Pilate was handing him over for the final moment to be crucified. "What is truth?" Pilate asked. He went out again to the Jews and said, "I find no basis for the charge against this man. But it is your custom for me to release one prisoner at the time of Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews? And they shouted back, no, not him. Give us Barabbas. Now Barabbas had taken part in a rebellion. And even in those moments, he's torn again, defining love. Then Pilate took Jesus and had him flogged. The soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head. They clothed him in a purple robe and went up to him again and again saying, Hail, King of the Jews! And they struck him in the face. And still, love. Every tear of this moment, an amazing love. I ask you among you, who could have done this for that long? Once more, Pilate came out and said to the Jews, Look, I am bringing him out to you to let you know I find no basis for the charge against him. And when Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, Pilate said to them, Here's the man. And as soon as the chief priests and their officials saw him, they shouted, Crucify! 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 And Jesus answered, You have no power over me if it were not given to you from above. Therefore, the one who handed me over to you is guilty of a greater sin. And from then on, Pilate tried to set Jesus free, but the Jews kept shouting, If you let this man go, you are no friend of Caesar. And when Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out, sat down in the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement, which in Aramaic is Gabbatha. It was the day of preparation of Passover week, about the sixth hour. Here's your king, Pilate said to the Jews. But they shouted, Take him away! Take him away! Crucify him! Crucify him! Shall I crucify your king? Pilate asked. We have no king, Caesar. And finally, Pilate handed him over to be crucified. Jesus being torn away, piece by piece, defining love. And so the soldiers took charge of Jesus. Carrying his own cross, he went out to the place of the skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. And here they crucified him, and with two others, one on each side, and Jesus in the middle. And Pilate had notice prepared and fastened to the cross, and it read, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. Many Jews read this sign, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and the sign was written in Aramaic, Latin, and Greek. And the chief priests protested to Pilate, Don't write that. Pilate answered, What I have written, I have written. And when the soldiers crucified Jesus, they took his clothes, dividing them into four shares, one for each of them, with the undergarment remaining. This garment was seamless, woven top to bottom. Let's not tear it. Let's decide by lot who will get it. This happened so that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, They divided my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. Definition of love. An amazing love. Near the cross stood Jesus, the mother of Jesus, his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son." And to the disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that time on, he took her into his home. Later on, knowing that all was completed so that the scripture would be fulfilled, we see the definition of love. Jesus said, "I am thirsty." And a jar of wine vinegar was there. And so they soaked it with a sponge and put it on a hyssop plant and lifted it to Jesus' lips. And it was now about the sixth hour, and darkness came over the whole land until the ninth hour, for the sun had stopped shining. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." And when all the people who had gathered together witnessed this, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew them, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. An amazing love. An amazing love.
Amazing love will help.
an amazing love. A love that is unequaled. And because of that amazing love, you know what we're able to do? We're able to take this sin and tear it away. Because of this day, we can lay it forever at the foot of the cross for that amazing love. One day He brought back hope. In years past, I have kept this somber, but tonight I need to change the gear a little bit. There was a black preacher back in, he just passed away, I think about 15 years ago. And his name was Lockridge. And he did a recitation that I heard today for my first time. And I want you to hear this, and I want you to get into it with me, and I want you to feel it. Because it is going to tell you what we have to go through. Yet, he was known for his sermons, and this recitation almost made me go into a ditch today. It's Friday. Jesus is praying. Peter's sleeping. Judas is betraying. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. Pilate's struggling. The council is conspiring. The crowd is vilifying. They don't even know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are running like sheep without a shepherd. Mary's crying. Peter is denying. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The Romans beat my Jesus. They robe Him in scarlet. They crown Him with thorns. But they don't know that Sunday's coming. Say it with me.
Sunday's coming.
It's Friday. See Jesus walking to Calvary. His blood dripping. His body stumbling. His spirit burdened. But you see, it's only Friday. Because Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The world's winning. People are sinning. And evil's grinning. It's Friday. The soldiers nail my Savior's hands to the cross. They nail my Savior's feet to the cross. And then they raise Him up next to criminals. But it's Friday. But let me tell you something. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The disciples are questioning what has happened to their king. And the Pharisees are celebrating that their scheming has been achieved. But they don't know. It's only Friday. Sunday's coming. It's Friday. He's hanging on a cross, feeling forsaken by His Father. Left alone and dying. Can no one save Him? Oh, it's Friday. But Sunday's coming. It's Friday. The earth trembles. The sky grows dark. My King yields His spirit. It's Friday. Hope is lost. Death has won. Sin has conquered. And Satan's just a laughing. It's Friday. Jesus is buried. A soldier stands guard. A rock is rolled into place. But it's Friday. It's only Friday. And Sunday is coming. Amen. Stand up and pray with me, please. Father, we know that the Scripture says, now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. And he came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he was waiting for the kingdom of God. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, placed it in a tomb cut from the rock. One which no one had yet been laid. It was preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. The women who had come from with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how His body was laid in it. And then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes, and they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. And Father, we know that you put him in the tomb, but he did not stay. We know that he died. He gave up the Spirit. The curtain was torn. The gates were opened. Salvation was given forth to man on this day. And it's only Friday. Father, let us not forget. Let us not be taken away for one moment from what our Savior endured. Let us not remember the sounds of the tares, the sounds of the whips. Let us not forget that he hung on a cross and gave everything. But it's only Friday. Father, pray that as we leave from here tonight, remembering him, forgetting what the world says, leaving it behind. The words can't come fast enough, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the birth. We thank you for the life. And we praise you for the death. And we thank you, Father, that this was all for us, paid in full from an amazing love. In Jesus' name, all of us said, amen.
Please turn to page 305.